Here we are, coming to you almost live from our top secret broadcasting bunker. Apparently, the NSA has found out where we are. And I don't know what's going on. I know that we are streaming live on Ustream, and Jazz is trying to get that stream embedded to the Pastor Mike Online website, because usually the stream to Pastor Mike Online website is taken from Sermon Audio. And for some reason right now, my software is showing that it's streaming to Sermon Audio. Data is being sent out, but nothing is being picked up on Sermon Audio's end. And so we have someone placing a call to them to find out what's going on. We just hope that it's a some sort of software problem on their end, or maybe my end, or something like that. Hoping that it's not anything malicious or deliberate or anything like that, but who knows? When you're dealing with the talk show that hell hates, just about anything can and will happen, and it normally will happen right at broadcast time. So this is not unusual for us. But anyway, this is being recorded. Those of you who are watching through the Ustream channel right now, we're not going to lose any of the very important information that we have to pass along today, which the first thing is, and I don't want to forget it, Adrian is having a birthday today. We don't know how old, but we wish him a happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday to you. May you find Jesus near every day of the year. And let me get right into, I've got so many papers here that I want to share with everybody. Hang on one second here. I'm gonna save that here till a little bit. So much information has come in today, yesterday, since Tuesday's Pastor Mike Online, and even Tuesday, I didn't get through all of the articles and stories that I think were relevant. Because I just dealt with a bunch of other things. Here's one that I was going to talk about on Tuesday, wearables at work, the new frontier of employee surveillance. And I want you to catch this and open your King James Bible to Revelation chapter 13, because you're going to see a deliberate attempt or a deliberate action to bring about what is in Revelation chapter 13, where the false prophet rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And this article talks about, wearables at work, the new frontier of employee surveillance. For 10 days, Profusion's data scientists use Fitbits and other apps. If you don't want to know what a Fitbit is, it's a little, looks like a big pill that people wear. They strap it on to various parts of their body, and it monitors their activity, monitors their heart rate, monitors other things. I mean, this is like Star Trek right here and right now. We're not waiting till the 23rd century. It's going on right now. Anyway, Fitbit and other apps to track 171 personal metrics for 31 staff who volunteered, including the somewhat reluctant Mr. Weston of this company. Combing through the data, the analysts found that they could group the staff into clusters based on shared patterns of behavior. They labeled one group busy and coping, another group irritated and unsettled. And I don't know about, to me, that's information that I don't think I want my employer to know, that I am irritated or unsettled at the workplace. It's really none of their business. As long as I get the job done, it's really not anybody else's business how fast my heart is beating or what the temperature of my body is. Or whether it's kind of like mood rings. You remember back in the 70s, the people wear mood rings. And if it was a bright gold or green color or yellow, they was happy. And if it was red, they were mad. If it was black, they were in a bad mood. And so on, you got to stay away from them. This is mood rings on steroids, is what this is. Technology has made it possible for employers to monitor employees more closely than ever, from GPS trackers for delivery drivers to software that tracks which websites office workers visit. Companies such as Profusion think wearable gadgets could open a new frontier. It's a whole new world. A new frontier in workplace analytics, albeit one that would further blur the lines between our work and our private lives. Mr. Weston says, I think there's an inevitability that it will gain ground, and there's a backlash risk that will follow if the data gets abused, he said, quote. And that hurt my throat a little bit, so I'm not going to read anything else that he said. For employers, the simplest way to use wearable gadgets, and so far the most common, is to give them to staff and try to nudge them into healthier lifestyles. And think about it. Nudge them into healthier lifestyles. There is a computer company, not a computer company. I've got my mind on what's wrong with the streaming today. So that's kind of clouding over what I'm trying to say. There is an insurance company that will give you a device to plug in your car, any car made after, I don't know what year it is, the 1990s, somewhere around in there, has a port that connects to the car's onboard computer. You plug that device into that port so that device can read, number one, where you are, your GPS location. Number two, so that it can read the information being sent by the engine of how you drive. It will collect data on speed, collect data on how your engine is performing. It will collect data on braking, things like that. And if you're a good driver and you don't break the speed limit, usually they'll give you a discount. This is all conditioning here to get you to put that device in your car. You see, I'm telling you, people are so bent out of shape, and rightfully so, about the government forcing all cars to have this tracker on it. And it's like the government's going, we just tell the insurance companies to give them that and to give them a discount, and they'll do it by themselves. And that's what people are doing. They're putting these devices on their car because the insurance company says, we'll give you a discount if we find out you're a good driver. If you're a bad driver, we're going to jack your rates up because you are going to have a wreck. There's no way around it. You're going to have an accident. And so I think the Bible's right. The King James Bible's right. The false prophet will cause everyone to go along with this plan. And all you have to do is sell them and say, look, this is going to save you money if you put this on your car. If our insurance company computers can know every place you go, how fast you drove to get there, did you do rolling stops at stop signs, did you stop at all yellow lights, did you do this, did you do that, they will give you the discount, and people will voluntarily put those things in there. People are voluntarily logging the information and data that comes from their human body automatically being sent into a cloud computer, a server farm of computers somewhere is databasing all of your information about how your body works. Now they're doing it on the job. Now let me say this part. And it's a biblical principle. When man is wicked, he has many rulers over him. Man right now, how many people that show up on their place of employment have been doing drugs in the last 24 hours? Smoking marijuana, maybe crystal meth or heroin or whatever. How many of them? And companies go to great lengths to do random drug testing on their employees. Here, you get them to wear some sort of wearable device when they show up for work, and you don't need a drug test. You can tell by their heart rate. You can tell by just everything they do that there's a problem going on. And all right, here we got some good news. Hang on, I got to tweet something. Got a tweet. We got to tell everybody to go to the Pastor Mike Online website because we are streaming now on that website. All right. So I'm using my mobile device here to tweet. Go to www.PastorMikeOnline.com for the live feed. There you go. And if you're watching live, you'll see that come up. That, by the way, our tweets. My Twitter account, King James Code, goes to my Facebook page. It goes to our church website. It shows up every time we turn cameras on here at Bethel Church or Prophetic Research Ministry, every time we post something to YouTube or sermon audio, a tweet goes out, a notification to tell people, hey, we're on live. Also, the tweets are something that I use to inform people about things that are going on. Maybe I was not able to be here today. Maybe I'm sick, or maybe this or that the other happened. And I will tweet that and let people know that's going on. So if you are not currently following our Twitter account, at least go to visitbethelchurch.com and you will be able to see all of the news updates that are there. Anyway, let me get back to the topic du jour. The idea is that employees going to work, the company is going to monitor them. It's going to monitor their body metrics. This article said 171 personal body metrics that these things do. Because some people go to work and they don't do anything. And American companies know this. The government should know this. People go, and this is notorious for government workers, and I know some that work. But there are people on job sites, whether it's corporate or government, education or whatever, who go to work and don't work, and they get a paycheck. So now the people they're defrauding either the federal government, the state government, the local government, or they're defrauding their company, their corporation. I don't care if it's McDonald's. They're defrauding them. And companies are going to insist, if you work for us, you have to put on this vest. And this vest is going to track you everywhere you go, because we need to know that if we pay you money, that you're actually doing something while you're here. Am I in favor of it? Not in the sense that I have this, I think my body metrics are my business. But in the world we live in today, you probably know people who show up for work and don't do the work. And I think that's what this is all about. And they'll say, you want a job here? Put on this vest. It's going to monitor you. Or those of you who wear the vest, we have a bonus program for you. I guarantee you people put the vest on. You will not have to have the false prophet force everybody, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. See, I knew the verse. You'll not have to, the false prophet will not have to force anybody. He'll just simply cause them to put it on, and they're going to put it on. That was something I was going to talk about Tuesday. What else? What else is back here? Human stem cells being used to treat pets. Here we go. I'm going to get to this. I've got slides to show you today. We're going to talk about robots. We're going to talk about CERN. We're going to talk about the connection between the human brain and the computer world. And somebody sent me an email yesterday, and if I'm not careful, I'm going to lose track of all my papers. Somebody sent me an email yesterday, and they thought of something from the scriptures, and I'm just going, that's pretty cool. And here it is right here. I like it when people are watching this program and they're reading their Bible and they're thinking about what's going on. Because what it means is that people out there are starting to see that everything that we have going in this world right now, all of these things are mentioned in the Scripture. This book is the book of life. It is the book of our life. It has the answer to every problem and every situation. Sometimes you got to search for it a little bit longer than you do others, but it's all there. And this Bible talks about what is going on today, including CERN and wormholes. Okay? I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Let me show you something that came across today. In fact, Donna, the software writer, sent me this. She's always sending me graphics and things like that of things she sees with hexagons. You can go to 666alert.net and look at all of the there's a ton of triple hexagons showing up on in corporate branding and corporate identity and sales and things like that, advertisements and so on. They're everywhere. And what that is, a hexagon is a six. And when you have three of them together, you have 666. But take a look at this. The there's a game out there called Ingress. Now I have heard of it, but I never really did really know what it was. But Donna sent it to me today, and I'm looking at the logo and I'm going, yeah, okay, I get that. There's a hexagon. Actually, there's like three of them. If you look at it very, very closely, those of you listening to Watchman FM KBTR, look at the exact center of your FM dial. You won't be able to see what I'm talking about, but you can at least imagine it, all right? This is the logo for a game that is it from Google? How Ingress, Google's real-world smartphone game, got me out of my shell. And so this guy is going to explain to all of us what Ingress is. And he says, Ingress is a story-driven, real-world, augmented reality game. Now, let me explain what augmented reality is. Not augmented. Augmented, all right? I didn't have anything to do with it. This augmented reality is you're using your tablet or your mobile device, and your mobile device has a camera in front of it, or your iPad or your Samsung Note 10.1 or 12 or whatever has a little camera in front of it. And the game, and there's several different one of these with augmented reality, will use a combination of what the camera sees in front of you along with superimposing computer graphics in that, so that you're looking in a room, the game or the augmented reality program will put some sort of object or person or creature in that room, and you're going to go into that room and you're going to kill the creature, or you're going to take something from the person or whatever. You know how a lot of these games work, all right? Well, this is the difference. This is, you're playing, you can play this in your home, you can play it out on the sidewalk, you can play it in the park, you can go to the beach, you can play it at work, unless you're wearing wearables. But you can, that's augmented reality. And what's coming very, very quickly down the road, When Oculus Rift finally releases their version of the virtual reality headset, augmented reality is going to go through the roof, because the Oculus Rift headset involves you not having to hold a camera around like this. It's going to have motion detection. It's going to have, you're going to have headphones on, you're going to have things over your eyes, and it's going to be two forward-facing cameras providing three-dimensional vision into your eyes, and various games and programs are going to display objects that it's going to make it look like they are in the room with you. I don't think we can perceive of what that is going to do to how humans perceive reality. You know what I think? I think there's going to be some people that once this virtual reality headset really takes on, I think it's going to go quickly. I think there are going to be people who would live most of their lives inside of the virtual world. They would prefer to live in the virtual world and not in the real world. And I think that that's just one more step getting people to accept a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. It'll be in the game. And when you look at this, I'm pointing the wrong way, this symbol right here, when you're seeing that, that is an indication of where this is headed. Let me keep reading now about this game. Ingress is a story-driven, real-world, augmented reality game, which is short for, quote, you install a game on your phone and the game takes place in the real world, so you have to get out of the house to play. The video above gives you a quick primer to the story of the game, complete with the whole you're a secret agent vibe it has. And here's the breakdown. This guy gives you a very, very interesting breakdown of this particular game. He says, this world around you is not at all what it seems. Our future is at stake. You must choose a side. A mysterious energy. Think of a spirit. A mysterious energy has been unearthed by a team of scientists in Europe. The origin and purpose of this force is unknown. I want you to think about it. A mysterious energy has been unearthed by a team of scientists in Europe. We're going to go and talk about a real-world team of scientists in Europe that I think are trying to unearth something. Okay? The origin and purpose of this force is unknown, but some researchers believe it is influencing the way we think. We must control it, or it will control us. Cue the... da-da-da music. The enlightened seek to embrace the power that this energy may bestow upon us. The resistance, that would be me, struggle to defend and protect what's left of our humanity. That would be me. I represent, and you represent, the resistance. The people who will not cross the line. We're going to stay human. We're going to keep our DNA. We're not going to let anybody change it. We're going to stay that way because God said so. And when we die, and we will, save the Lord, come and receive us into His own, we will be born again anew into the kingdom of God and live forever. That's what I believe. Jazz tells me that she spoke with Sermon Audio, and somebody is looking into it, and they are going to call back. Jazz, we appreciate that. You are, in fact, Superwoman. Anyway, check that out. Check more of that out online about this virtual reality game and all the symbols. By the way, if you see symbols anywhere of hexagons, especially three of them in a row, hexagons or hexagrams or things with sixes in it, send that to PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com. Be sure and put in the heading 666 alert, because when I search through my emails, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people that have sent me graphics, and we get them uploaded and we post them on 666alert.net as time will allow us. Now, I want to get into the next thing here. Hang on one second. Let's do this. I gotta show you this. This is cool. All right. Wait a minute. I gotta print something out too. I've been so busy. Once we found out that we were not streaming through Sermon Audio, I spent all my time trying to do everything on my end to make sure it wasn't something that we were doing wrong or a computer glitch on our part or so on. And we know that the stream to Ustream is working, so that's the one that we're using. I've got an article that I want I'm going to read to you, and it's just absolutely fascinating. The biggest question that's been on everybody's mind is, how are we going to connect the human world to the computer world? Because if you have a computer, I got too many papers. If you have a computer and you try to jam or shove this in your body somewhere, it's going to hurt and it won't work. Just like iron doesn't mix with miry clay. My father-in-law is a welder. My brother-in-law was a welder. They let me weld on something one time. I thought it was pretty cool. Never done it before. And they can tell you that you cannot weld together a ball of hardened dirt in with steel or iron. You can't do it. It won't work. And so the issue is, how do you get miry clay to mix with iron? And God already said it won't do it. It won't happen. They're going to try it, but it won't mix. And that kingdom is going to be divided. That's how you know it won't stand. The kingdom will be divided. I thought that was cool. First time I thought of that. I was trying to figure out if the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderberg Group. Bilderberg! Hang on! Bilderberg! This is from Paul Joseph Watson of Infowars.com, and I take this with a grain of salt. I don't believe everything that Infowars comes out with. But I will say they have a little bit better reputation than some other websites I've seen. Here's an exclusive to Infowars.com. This is the story that CNN missed, all right? Bilderberg deploys high-tech jamming to shut down communications. You know what that is? It's guys playing rock and roll music. Wow, they're jamming. That was bad. Hang on. The secretive Bilderberg Group has deployed a high-tech jamming system to shut down communications around the site of the elitist Comfab's luxury hotel in order to strangle media. I like the wording of this stuff. To strangle the media coverage of the event. After visiting one of the closest spots to the Interalpen Hotel that is still accessible, InfoWars filmed a communications truck owned by the Federal Ministry for Transport and Technology. Large antennas are also visible on the top of the hotel, as well as a giant newly erected mast in the forest near the hotel. InfoWars spoke to an informed local in the immediate vicinity who confirmed that cell phone coverage in the area and around the hotel had died since the tower was erected. The individual had also met with police and security near the hotel. Cell phone jammers work by preventing cellular phones from receiving signals from base stations. The jammers are technically illegal in European Union countries, unless you're in the Bilderberg meeting. This triangulated jamming system would explain why InfoWars reporters Rob Dew and Josh Owens have been unable to broadcast live via Skype anywhere near the Interalpen Hotel. Maybe they're jamming our signal to Sermon Audio. No, I don't really think so. Anyway, that's the Bilderberg news. The Bilderberg news is you will not get any Bilderberg news from anybody. All right? And why did I bring that up? I have no idea. I can't remember why. Anyway, let's do this. Let me read this this article here. How do we get the computer world to connect to the human brain? How do we get that? Iron and clay won't mix, so that means their kingdom is going to be divided and it will fall. Because I remember what I was saying, I wanted to know who was in charge. Bilderberg, CFR, Trilateral Commission, is it the Vatican, is it the Freemasons, is it the Muslims? Who is it that's in charge of all this? It's, yes, all of them are in on it.
and they're being controlled by spirits. And there is this soon coming joining together of the spiritual beast world and the human world. But they won't mix together. And their kingdom is going to be destroyed. It's going to fall because it's a kingdom divided. So the question is, how can we get these mobile devices or these computer chips or these Wi-Fi antennas or a connection to the World Wide Web that would interface with our brain? How can we do that? So they've been working on a way to do it. Here is an article. Let's see here. Who sent me the original? This was Jason in Tennessee. Jason, I appreciate it. Tim sent me this article. Scientists inject cyborg tissue. Cyborg is it's a robot. It's a machine. All right. Scientists inject cyborg tissue into the brain. And it left their colleagues with, quote, our jaws dropping. So-called futurist Ray Kurzweil has predicted that in the not-so-distant future, humans will be augmenting their minds with nanotechnology that's even smarter than them. Well, it appears that some scientists are making headway into how that technology could be inserted into our brains someday. A few years ago, Harvard University researchers first showed that they could create what's called cyborg tissue. It just sounds sickening. Cyborg tissue. By growing cardiac or nerve cells on a scaffold at the nano scale. Now, if you don't understand any of that language, let me explain it to you. Think of, let's see here. I'll use this. Okay. This is a 32 gigabyte SD card. It's what we record the Watchman broadcast on and Pure Bible Study and things like that. And it's an amazing device, okay? Inside of this little chip is a very, very, very tiny little processor of information, and the information is stored on here, okay? Imagine this shrunk down to the size of a dust particle, not sand, dust. I'll ask you a question. Have you ever seen a dust particle? You have seen dust particles together, but just a single particle of the dust of the earth is practically unseeable. That's what the nano scale is. It's that small. And they are developing ways where they can make those little nanoparticles into working computers and robots. They call them nanobots. In this case, they've created this cyborg tissue, they call it, with cardiac cells, nerve cells, on a scaffold, which means they're going to be. Let me show you. Let's see here. I got a picture around here somewhere, right? Yeah. No. Right. Here we go. This is a high tech picture here. See that web? That net to catch things in. See that? That is not as big as you think it is. Okay? This mesh will actually fit into a hypodermic needle. You can squirt it through a hypodermic needle. That's how small this is. All right? So you need to get this. A scaffold at the nanoscale, the Harvard Gazette reported. They use this technology to measure electrical signals as they expose the cells to different drugs. Now the researchers in Charles Lieber's lab found a way to inject this scaffold into the brains of mice without causing damage. See, you can jam the mobile electronic Wi-Fi enabled computer into the human body in some place, but it's going to hurt and cause a lot of damage. So they don't want to do that to most people. Anyway, they found a way to inject this scaffold in the brains of mice without causing damage, potentially paving the way for a new method of treatment for diseases like Parkinson's and conditions like paralysis. See, they're only doing this to let man live forever.
Ever.
That's what they're doing. They're going to, we just want to cure this disease. We want to cure man's diseases. We want to make man live 5,000, 6,000, maybe 5 million years. That's what we want to do. Want man to live forever. This opens up a completely new frontier where we can explore the interface between electronic structures and biology, Lieber told the Gazette. Unlike other techniques that implant objects in the brain, this nano-fabricated scaffold is 1 million times more flexible than any state-of-the-art flexible electronics and have subcellular feature sizes, Lieber said, and I have absolutely no idea what that all means. They're what I call neurophilic. They actually like to interact with neurons. Neurons are the things in your brain that make your brain a brain. Does that make sense? Neurons, you have all these little pathways. You have a neural network inside of your brain. Your brain transfer neuron in signals, in codes, in sequences. When light comes into your two eyeballs, you have neurons that are firing off, that are taking that image and turning it into something that is recognizable by the brain. When you hear audio, it's the same way. When you touch something, your brain is doing it. When your brain is going to move the arm or the mouth, like I'm think of what my brain is doing right now. I'm thinking of what I'm going to say. I'm also saying it in real time, and I'm using my hand to gesture the talk. All of this is what my brain is doing. It's firing off hundreds of thousands of millions of motor neurons every split second in order for me to do what I do or do what you do. So this is an amazing thing that God gave us. And we want to mess it up by augmenting it with the computer world. Let me kind of explain to you what this is all capable of. I mentioned earlier the, make sure I'm going to throw away the right papers here. I mentioned earlier that the augmented reality thing, virtual reality world, it's coming. It's coming very quickly. Ray Kurzweil says that by probably 2030, mankind is going to be a combination of biology and technology. And this mesh that they've just made is probably the foundation, or it just kind of, they're going to build on top of that. So that at some point in the near future, when I say near future, I'm talking 5 to 10 years, you're going to hear a story of not a mouse, but how a human now has the capability of connecting his brain with the entire World Wide Web. The massive total sum of all human intelligence or stupidity, his brain will have access to the machine world, just like in the Matrix. He's going to get jacked in. And I want you to ponder, what would that be in the Bible? Because, and I covered this in Watchmen broadcasts I did and so on, dealing with the singularity, what is the singularity and singularity's temple and so on, because there was a guy that gave a TED talk And in this TED Talk, he's talking about how the next 5,000 days of the Internet are going to progress in such a way as the entire World Wide Web, the entirety of humanity is going to be connected into the World Wide Web. And the web is going to be the God of mankind. And so here man is building God, the computer world, and now man and computer world are going to join together. Okay? I want you to think about that. I don't have a picture of it, but I want you to think of the Masonic symbol of the double-headed eagle. I want you to think about that. Okay, picture that in your mind. Google it if you've never seen it before. I'd be surprised if you didn't. Okay, the double-headed eagle is an eagle with two heads. They're looking in opposite directions, one west and one east, or maybe one north and one south. Think of the Greek god Janus, J-A-N-U-S. That's where we get the month of January from. The god Janus is a two-faced god, two-headed god, and one is looking this way and one is looking that way. The reason why we call January, January, it's named after Janus, and every January, just about everybody on the planet celebrates what Janus represents. They have a New Year's Eve party. And at the New Year's Eve party, we're always looking back at the previous year, and then we're looking forward to the new year. Everybody does this at New Year's Eve. We look back. TV news stations will show you the highlights from the previous year, and you remember all these stories. You remember all the celebrities that died. You remember all the celebrities that got arrested. You remember all this stuff. And then we do what's called New Year's resolutions. These are things, I'm going to lose weight this year. Well, I'm going to grow a mustache this year. Okay? And that's what people do. They look forward, they look back at New Year's Eve. NASA sent a dual satellite system called the Grail to the moon. One was dispatched to the lunar orbit on December 31st. The other one was dispatched into lunar orbit on January 1st. One looking back, one looking ahead. Okay, and they're supposed to be mapping the surface of the moon, looking for water. Or I don't know what it is. I can't remember it. But anyway, that's the concept. That's the idea. Think of a two-headed eagle looking in different directions. Okay, and what that represents is Daniel chapter 2, the fourth kingdom, iron and clay mixed together. Or the male and female together, or the yin and the yang. The ancient future is what that represents. You got that concept so far, all right? Now I want you to think of your brain, such as it is, connected to the collective brain of the entire internet. What you are now and what mankind is going to be when they of the fourth kingdom mingle themselves with the seed of men. Here's how it's going to turn out. Are you ready for this one? And Jason, you gave me the idea for it. All right. And I love it. I love it when God's people are looking at God's word going, I wonder if, see, Jason, you gotta wait. I'm going to tell you what it is in a minute. Okay. And Jason didn't write me and say, hey, Pastor, I think you ought to read so-and-so's book about the tribulation and about the rapture. He didn't say that. You know what he did? He was reading his Bible. And I'm all about, not so that we can prove other people wrong that we don't like, but I am all about looking at this old King James Bible with fresh eyes, with the understanding of the world that we are living in right now. Because as I've said continually, I am getting flooded with articles, legitimate news articles about things that are going on in the biology, or the DNA or the technology world. And I just, if it wasn't for my Evernotes, I just take articles. You send me emails with articles in it. I send it to my Evernotes. Just keep it there. When I'm going to research a topic, it's right there. And I have all the things there. And that's what I'm doing to them. They're all going in my Evernotes. I had to upgrade my account to a paid account just so I could keep funneling all these articles and things that you send me and stuff like this. And so Jason is looking at his Bible and he's looking at what's going on in the world. And a thought came into his mind. And as soon as he said it, I went, he's exactly right. Here's what it is. Here is your brain. And here's the entire collective of the world internet. Every computer with every hard drive and every speck of information. But the computer world is a mind unto itself. It has its own way of thinking, its own way of doing things. That thinking is growing and changing and becoming more sophisticated, more like humans. But it's changing right now. So what you have here is a person with this mind connected to the internet with this mind. Now they're double-minded. Did you catch that? They're double-minded. They have a double heart, as it were. Two souls combining in the same body, but they're not mixing together very well. They're still two distinct minds, distinct souls. Think of someone who has, there's different names for it now. It used to be called multiple personality, but now it's dissociative identity disorder or other things. But a person who is one person one minute and another person the other minute. Okay, it's a legitimate disorder. I know some people that have it, and I have seen the different people come out. It's really weird. But I want you to think about people with a double mind or double. And you know, we're gonna. As soon as he said it, I went, I know what that is, and he did too. Look at this. 1 Chronicles 12:33. Just a verse here about having a double heart of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank. They were not of double heart. When we look at the literal interpretation of that phrase, it literally has the idea that when they stand there ready for war, they're ready for war. They're not checking their tweets. They're not checking their emails. They're not watching Caitlyn Jenner's transformation on YouTube. They're not doing anything like that. They have a single solitary mind, and that is, let's go to war. So we understand the concept of someone who is double-hearted. They're standing there like they're ready for war, but they're checking the scores, or they're checking their stock market account or whatever it is. All right, these people, the tribe of Zebulun, does not have a double heart. In Psalm 12, verse 2, in Psalm 12, one of the most interesting and revealing passages in the Bible, I think, comparing God's word with mankind. Because Psalm 12 has, you know, the words of the Lord are pure words. It's silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. In Psalm 12, verse 2, the Bible says, they speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. And you know what that is, right? It says they do it with their neighbor. So here is the guy checking out his neighbor's wife next door, and they decide to have a barbecue, and the guy is just talking real nice and pleasing and sweet to this neighbor's wife. And on the outside, it just makes it look like, well, he's just being nice. He's a good neighbor. But on the inside of that man's heart, he is sweet-talking this lady in hopes that he could commit adultery with her. That's a double heart. Now, James chapter 1 actually says it the way it appears this is what's going to happen. Your mind and the entire World Wide Web mind being joined together by some sort of neural network connection thing. That person is double-minded. James said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You see that? A double-minded man, a man who has his human brain, but he's made the connection to the computer world. He doesn't have the full integration of both brains working side by side. Ebony and ivory. He don't have that. Two independently thinking brains, like a double-headed eagle. When you have a double-headed eagle, where does that eagle fly? Because one of them wants to go this way and the other one wants to go that way. It's a contradiction to have a double-headed eagle. It's a contradiction to have a yin and a yang together. God is light and in him is no darkness at all, the Bible says. It's a contradiction to have two opposites joined together in the same place. It doesn't work. But mankind is going to try it. He's going to try to join the brain with the computer world. So that man now is going to be, they're not going to be of a single mind. It's going to be double-minded. And he's going to be unstable in all his ways. Think about the concept of being unstable in the Word of God. It's not going to float. It's not going to work. It's a disaster waiting to happen. It's the false prophets. The false prophets. Guess who they go after? They beguile unstable souls. Wow. That's who they go after. And then James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. It's not God's way to have two brains operating in the same body. It's not. Christ doesn't even work that way with his church. He's the head, and there's only one. And we are the body, and we are different members. This part does this part, and this part does this part. But think of the dragon. Think of the beast. How many heads do they have? They got seven. They got seven independently brained heads, and there's no wonder why the kingdom of Satan will vanish away shortly in the last days. Because all those brains working together, they're not all going to get along. There's no honor among thieves, people. And that's just how it is. Now, let me take a little refreshment break here. And let's do... Oh, I got to read this one. 75-million-year-old dinosaur blood and collagen discovered in fossil fragments. La da 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 da. You know what that is, don't you? Jurassic Park. They have a picture here. These mineralized fibers of collagen are samples extracted from the ribs of an indeterminate dinosaur and analyzed using a scanning electron microscope. Scientists have discovered what appear to be red blood cells and collagen fibers in the fossilized remains of dinosaurs that lived 5,000 years ago. I put that in myself. Because they didn't live 75 million years ago. Do you know how I know? The evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day, and the evening and the morning were the third day. I know that because that's what my Bible says. About somewhere around 5,000 years ago, all of the dinosaurs vanished off the face of the earth. What happened? The flood drowned them. Did Noah have dinosaurs on the ark? It's possible. It's possible. Not fully grown, you know, brontosauruses. But we've seen dinosaur eggs, fossilized dinosaur eggs. They're about this big. Could you have had them on there? It's possible. Because I think some of them survived after the flood. Because I think Job knew what they were. Behemoth and Leviathan? Absolutely, absolutely. Listen, that's not a rhinoceros or a hippopotamus. Because Behemoth has a tail, moves around like a cedar. Hippopotamus has little bitty tails sticking out. I want you to think about this. They were able to find dinosaur blood and collagen in a fossil fragment that they said was 75 million years old. You got to really stretch some stuff out to think that viable red blood cells and collagen would still be found in a fossil that is 75 million years old. You got to really pull and stretch on that taffy to make it work. The findings suggest that scores of dinosaur fossils in museums around the world could retain soft tissues, and with it, the answers to major questions about dinosaur physiology and evolution. More speculatively, it has made scientists ponder whether dinosaur DNA might also survive. Along with the computer apocalypse, we're now going to reinsert beasts onto the earth that have not been seen in about 5,000 years. That's where we're headed right now. That's what we're going to do. Now, let me get to this. Let's talk about CERN and wormholes and portals and gates and connecting universes together. And we're going to have to do it in a very simple way because there are things that are going on in CERN that they're trying to explain. I have no idea what it means. I've tried to educate myself in a way that I could understand and grasp what a Higgs boson is or what the quantum world is. And still some of it is way over my head, which apparently the physicists and the scientists who deal with quantum particles, they will tell you if you think that you understand the quantum world, you don't. And that's the truth. The quantum world is, let me explain it like this. We went to school and they taught us that the atom was the smallest part of the entire known universe. They didn't tell us everything. They didn't know everything. Because I guess it just stands to reason. What are the atoms made of? You have an electron, you have a proton and a neutron inside of an atom. What are those neutrons made of? What is that electron that's orbiting around the neutron and proton center? What is that made of? What is the proton made of? What is light? Is it particles or is it waves? And the answer is, according to the quantum world theorists, the answer is yes. Light is both a particle, like sand particles or dust particles, and waves at the same time, which nobody can understand, but they're just saying it is. It's that way. So what are atoms made of? Atoms are made of the quantum particles, Higgs bosons and quarks, and other things that I have no idea what they represent. But that's what the particles that are in an atom are made of, even smaller particles. Here's the thing. Those particles, those quantum little pieces, those quantum grains, the smallest things in the universe, those things don't follow the same laws of physics that our atoms follow and we follow. They don't physics and physical laws don't apply. Let me give you a very simple physical law. If my physical body is here at Area 52, then by the laws of physics, my body cannot also be at my house at the same time. Now, it's going to be later, but then my body here at Area 52 is going to vanish and my body at my house is going to appear. That's the physical laws. And before I can get from Area 52 to where I live, I have to travel through time and space to get there. I have to cover all of the ground and all the three-dimensional space between here and my house. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, good. Didn't hear any objections, so I'm going to move on. There's a theory in the quantum world called quantum tunneling, that a quantum particle, think dust, that a quantum particle can be here at Area 52 and at my house at the same time. And they're pretty sure that that's how it works. They just don't know, or they're pretty sure that it does exist, that concept. They just don't know how it exists because it breaks the rules of physics in the physical world. There's, quantum tunneling. I think quantum tunneling is more like if there's me here and me at my house occupying two different spaces at the same time. If I take a knife and I cut my hand, the back of my hand, quantum tunneling says that the back of my hand of my other self back at my house will start bleeding. That's what quantum tunneling is. There's also this idea that a quantum particle can be in one place, like Area 52, and then be at my home without occupying any of the time or space between those two points. And it's just, you're just going, well, I think I'd rather just read my Bible. I think it's simple enough. Well, let me show you something. Some of you already know this, and I like to go back over there now and then, because you always find new stuff. When you get something in your brain, you always figure something else out, and it just makes a lot of sense. Let me show you something about a connection. Remember, in fact, let me do it this way. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Are you there? Revelation chapter 1. In fact, I turned right to it. Look at verse 11 of Revelation chapter 1. Come on, hurry up. Get your Bibles out. Come on. Let's hear those pages. Revelation chapter 1, verse 11. Here's Christ, and he's saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Now, here's what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, I am the first, and then I'm the last. It doesn't say that. It says, I am the first and last. It'd be like you see Jesus coming through a door, and there's, I don't know, 100 people in line behind him, and then when those 100 people come through the door, there's Jesus coming through the door at the end. And you look ahead, and there's Jesus up there. And yet he's here, but he's up there. That's what that's saying. He's not saying, I am the first, and then I will be the last. It's not what he said. He said, I am the first and the last. Simultaneously, at the same time, I am both of them. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Okay? I don't understand how it works either, but that's what it says. And I just believe the Bible. Now, go to Revelation 17, because here's where it gets interesting. If that wasn't interesting enough, here's where it gets interesting. In Revelation chapter 17, it describes the beast that carries the woman. And it says in verse 9, here's the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and another is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is. Did you see it? And we're going to see it again. Is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. There is another place here that actually says it a lot better than that. Hang on here. Where is it? Verse 8. I should have started there. The beast that thou sawest was and is not. See it? Was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell in the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they hold the beast that was and is not and yet is. So look at that. He is not and yet is. How is it that that can be? We don't know. But it is. It is not. It is. It is not. The beast was and is not and yet is. It's sort of like Jesus being the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And it is way above our thinking, but it's not above our believing. So we just believe the Bible for what it says. Now, we're gonna mix a little bit of, and I've done a teaching of like this before, in dealing with CERN and so on and comparing it to witchcraft, because I absolutely think that there is a comparison. Here is an image of the beast that was and is not and yet is. Half it's human and goat at the same time. Think of Baphomet. All right? Think of Baphomet. He is full of opposites. This could be is not and this could be is. The opposites that are working together here. Pan is another image of that. But the god of witchcraft, they refer to him as the horned god, the hairy man of the forest. Think of, Sasquatch maybe, the green man, and the mighty hunter. And all of those are names for the male deity in witchcraft. Just had to throw that in there. Okay, now, watch. In the neo-pagan tradition, the horned god goes by several names, including Dionysus, Faunus, and CERN. So we have CERN, whose symbol, what does that look like to you? What does it look like? Looks like a bunch of sixes intertwined together. Am I making that up? No, I don't think so. Because there's something way more drastically diabolical than just that going on, just with the idea of the sixes. Because out in front of CERN headquarters in Europe, remember that game from Google, Ingress? The theme of it was a group of scientists in Europe unearthed an energy. So in Europe, a group of scientists, many of them from India, outside of the CERN offices, is an idol of the beast. This is Shiva. Shiva is known as the destroyer. Shiva is known as, by the way, Shiva's not just known as the destroyer. Shiva is also the one who transforms things. So think about it. Think about here this scientific research facility. Biggest one on the planet. Countries from around the world are funneling millions and millions of dollars into CERN. That's where they get their money from. Countries and companies and private endowments are funneling huge sums of money into CERN so they can figure all this stuff out. And here out in front is an image of the god that they're serving. And Shiva, I know, is the Antichrist. I want you to notice that Shiva exists inside of a circle. Why is that relevant? I'll show you. But it's not just any circle. It's a circle of flames. What does that tell you? That tells you he is on fire. He's burning in the pit. He's in hell. Just like Revelation 17 says, Revelation 13 talks about it. He came up out of the pit. Here he comes up out of the pit. And he's going to go into perdition. And that pit is on fire. It's hell fire. And that's where Shiva does his dance. A dance that destroys and then creates. And I want you to think in the Bible of like a pit dug in the earth. A hole in the ground, a cave, all right, a well. The 12th Imam Mahdi of Islam rises up out of a well. Well, that's the same thing that Hindus look for, that other religions of the world look for. They're looking for a God that's down in a pit that's going to rise up out of that, and that's going to be their God. And this is who we're talking about. Remember this? Newsweek magazine, they basically just turned Obama into Shiva, the God of all things. Let me do the comparison here. Here's Shiva doing his dance, and here's Obama doing his dance, all right? In Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, think of 9-11. They had a king over them, which was the angel of the bottomless pit. Think of a pit. Think of a hole in the ground. Think of what worms tunnel through, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. In the Hebrew, there's 22 letters. In Greek, there's 24 letters. That's 46 together. Are you catching this? 46. What does that have a reference to? The Hindu deity Shiva, a 2-meter statue styled on Kola or Chola bronzes of the deity engaging in the Nataraja dance, the Chindambaram, I have no idea what any of this means, paralleling the movements or dance of subatomic particles. The sculpture is usually made in bronze, with Shiva dancing in an aureole, or which is like a circle, of flames, lifting his left leg and balancing over a demon or dwarf who symbolizes ignorance. Shiva represents enlightenment. Okay, he's conquering man's ignorance, represents enlightenment. So think of the day when they're able to mix humans in with the computer world. It's going to be an enlightening thing. Anyway, let me move on from here. Let me show you this, okay? CERN is a circle, and I'll show you a picture of it in a little bit. Shiva was in, here's Shiva again. Shiva is in a circle. The CERN logo is circles, and I'll show you the meaning of that. When you see the symbol of the Ouroboros, the serpent's tail inside of the serpent's mouth, it's a fusion of confusion is what it is. It is yin and yang. It is male and female for obvious reasons. It is light and darkness. It is the past and the future joining together, ancient future joining together. Manly Hall said the serpent with its tail in its mouth is the symbol of eternity. For in this position, the body of the reptile has neither beginning nor end. The head and tail represent the positive and negative poles of the cosmic life circuit. Did you see what Manly Hall said? The reptile has neither beginning nor end. He was and is not and yet is. That's what this also represents. It represents is not and yet is. And we can't comprehend that. But that's exactly how the Bible's just given you an accurate description of this beast that rises up out of the pit. Here's a graphic of CERN. They built it. Now, this circle here, you won't see on the surface. They superimposed it here. This circle is in itself the largest machine ever built by man. It is underground. Think about that. It's underground, deep in a pit. And they made CERN, and what this is the Large Hadron Collider. They get a particle here going this way at superspeeds, and they get a particle here going this way at superspeeds, and they crash right here. They fuse together, and the releasing of whatever comes out of that, they're hoping to find what they call the Higgs boson, or what they call the God particle. Because they've had this, let me get my ugly head out of the way so you can see all the graphic. They've had this idea that the Big Bang, which comes primarily from the Jewish Kabbalah, the Big Bang started as all of the universe was enmassed in one big, very small but very dense object of mass. And then it exploded and blew out over time. That is what the Kabbalah teaches about the God of the Kabbalah, which is Ein Sof, or Ein Sof, or however you, it's A-I-N-S-O-F, Ein Sof. And Ein Sof is the formless deity that was all unified at the beginning, and then he was broken in pieces and scattered all over the place. That is the same principle that you find given in the scriptures. You have God breaking Rahab in pieces. God has dashed in pieces his enemies, and those pieces scattered all over the place. So in the Kabbalah, everybody that lives and everything in the universe has what they call a divine spark on the inside of them. And if we can get everybody to join together, then that divine spark is able to join with the other sparks, and all of that comes together until it's a full flame. Now the flame deity has come to life again. Well, that's Shiva, is who that is. The flame deity is Shiva, the destroyer. The fire destroys, fire transforms, and that's what Shiva represents. That's what Ein Sof represents. They're both talking about, it's two names for the same beast, is what it is. And it's interesting to me that they place this humongous circle at exactly 46 degrees north latitude. It's like there's a connection here between the human body, the human genome, of 46 chromosomes, and this largest machinery ever built by man, and the biggest witchcraft circle that the world has ever seen. And it is, they are performing physical experiments that are also mirrored in witchcraft. I mean, there's different parts to this thing. You have the Large Hadron Collider. You have another smaller one called Atlas. Atlas is, I'll show you my notes here. Atlas is the demigod, half human, half god, who keeps the heavens from colliding with the earth. And then we go back here. We have the Alice place. And it's named after Alice in Wonderland, Alice's Adventures in the Looking Glass. Man by the name of Charles Dodgson wrote the Alice Adventures. Lewis Carroll was his pen name. Charles Dodgson's concept of Alice going through the looking glass was his concept of a three-dimensional person going into the fourth-dimensional world. And of course, if you've read Alice in Looking Glass or Alice in Wonderland, you know that it's a weird place. But here, they named one of those little facilities there, they named it Alice. Why? Because there's a representation of Alice that goes along with a cave or hole that's covered. It's got a gate keeping it closed, or it's got something blocking the way. And it's a portal that needs to be opened. And if that sounds far-fetched and crazy to you, let's go back, look at Revelation chapter 9, because that's exactly what we see. Is CERN going to succeed? Not without the key. Not without the key. And there's all kinds of stories on the internet about how CERN is opening up a portal to this, you know, the fourth dimension or their whatever. And I think that that's part of what's going on. But I don't see them succeeding in it because they don't have the key that unlocks that door. So in Revelation chapter 9, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. The sun and air were darkened by the reason of the smoke of the pit. Then there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And, you know, I've read that many times before. But there's a lot of things in the occult and a lot of things in physical science, including CERN, that I think are seen here as being fulfilled in Revelation chapter 9. Primarily the opening of a doorway, the opening of a pit or hole. And I'm giving you all these words to write down so you can look them up in the King James Bible. Because that's what we're going to do. We're going to walk through the scriptures here just a little bit. Let me see where else we're going here with this. I had my mind on everything else. Witches perform rituals in circles. It's what they do. Nobody can really tell you exactly why, but I think I know why. Muslims, by the way, they make circles around the black stone, the Kaaba, in Mecca. In fact, I found this out. There is a Ustream channel that, and I pull it up every now and then just to see it. It's a live feed from Mecca. And all hours of the day, all hours of the night, there are people who are circumambulating around this black box, this cube. You see it? You see the hexagon shape here? If you were to just kind of max or just kind of block out the roof of this thing, this makes a hexagon. And even at that, it's a cube is a six-sided figure. You're looking at the number six here. Who are they worshiping? They're worshiping the beast, whose number is 603, 6. And what do? You go on Justin TV. They went out of business. You go on Ustream and you watch. They'll circle. And it's commanded of them that they must circle the Kaaba 7 times. And that's a representation of the 7 planetary objects that the ancients saw as circling the earth. And that's what they do. See, their religion, it's just another part of a greater mystery. People ask me about this guy, Waleed Shabbat, who was a Palestinian terrorist and now he's turned Christian. He writes all these books and has this website about how it's going to be the Muslims that's going to be the Antichrist and how they're the ones going to take over and so on. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that the religion that's going to take over, it's going to encompass every other religion in the world, including Islam. Islam is just a repository for little pieces of the mystery religion. The things that they're doing there are precisely pointed toward worshiping the beast. They're already doing it. They just don't know it yet, all right? But that's what they do. Check this out. This symbol here, it's called the point within the circle or the circumpunct. And it took me a long time to really get this one. I saw it and I'm going, okay, that's like the stupidest thing in the world. What, you draw a circle and you say, see, that's an occult symbol. See, there's a circle on that sign up there. That's the occult. And I'm just going, oh my goodness, what in the world is wrong with people? And then I realized what it was that I was looking at. By the way, this right here is DuPont Circle. That's in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. has several of these embedded into its street layout. And usually, with every one of them, there's some sort of statuary, or in this case here, there's a fountain, a well, right here in the point within the circle. Do you remember? Here's George W. Bush in his 2004 acceptance speech from the Republican National Convention, I think that's what it is, and they've got him standing in the exact center of this little point within a circle that has all these levels and layers to it. They did the same thing with Barack Obama in, 2008? When he, this was the Democratic National Convention, and they built a temple that Obama came out of. Think of what the temple represents. It represents the human body. And the symbolism of this was, here's the beast in his temple. Here he is in the point, becoming the point within the circle, the circumpunct. And you're asking, what in the world is that symbol? I'll make it real easy for you. Look at, in fact, let me kind of get myself out of the way here. Watch this. See this? Okay. You can do this on a piece of paper. Draw a circle on a piece of paper. And on that circle, you're going to write a word. It's the only place in the King James Bible where the word circle is used. And it says, the circle of the earth. So think of this as the earth. In the heart of the earth is a point, a spark, a particle. Whatever. It's in the heart or the center of this circle. You're looking at, in the most simplistic of all alchemical and Masonic emblems that there is the point within a circle. Anybody can draw it. And what it represents is the beast that's in the heart of the earth. You see that? Go look at it. Go look at the word circle. In fact, I got it on a slide here. We'll get to it in just a little bit. Here is a complete idiot's guide to Wicca and witchcraft. When you want to do magic, you need to cast a circle. The circle will protect you. Their druid temples, wherein the sacred fire was preserved, were generally situated on eminences and in dense groves of oak and assumed various forms, circular, because a circle was the emblem of the universe. Most witches consider their spiritual space to be their magical circle. A magic circle is a space where a witch will conduct rituals and ceremonies. It is, look at here, look at there, it is the gateway between worlds, spiritual and physical realms. Did you see that? It's the gateway between the worlds, spiritual and physical realms come together and allow you to communicate with spirit, conduct spiritual work, rituals, ceremonies, and castings. And here is, as you're thinking of this, think CERN. Because that's exactly what they have to do with. They have to do with opening a portal. A sacred and purified space in which rituals, magical work, and ceremonies are conducted. It offers a boundary for a reservoir of concentrated power and acts as a doorway to the world of the gods. The circle is entered in anticipation of uniting with the gods and the forces of nature, earth, air, fire, and water, in a harmonious relationship. Silver Ravenwood wrote this in To Light a Sacred Flame, I cast the circle hedge between the worlds. Be thou the girdle of the goddess and a protection against all negative energies. I call upon the positive spirits of the north, the east, the south, and the west to aid me in this consecration. Sounds like something Beth Moore said, if you remember that. Here is Isaiah 40. It is he that sitteth upon, here it is, the circle of the earth. It's the only place in the whole Bible you find the word circle. Zodiac. Zodiac literally means a circle of beasts. In this case, it's a circle of heavenly beasts, like Aries the ram, and Taurus the bull, and Leo the lion, and Sagittarius the whatever that thing is. But the whole thing of astrology is nothing more than a point within a circle. Masons,
What do Masons have as their primary symbol? A compass. What does a compass do? It draws circles. The compass does what witches do. Isaiah 44:13, the carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes. That's a square. And marketh it with the compass. The two primary tools in Freemasonry, the two primary emblems of Freemasonry, is the plane or the square and the compass. Maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. And what I think this verse is talking about is man building an image. He measured it out with a rule. He marked it with lines. He took squares and made little angles with it. And then he circumscribed it. Here is another example of this point within the circle. This is called the labyrinth. The labyrinth basically represents, here is the circle of the earth, the outer edge. And here is the god that's trapped down in there. The half-human, half-god, sort of like, sort of like this right here. That's what's in the heart of a labyrinth. Here's the circle of the earth. Here's the heart of the earth. And this is where he's trapped. So these churches everywhere that have these prayer labyrinths, they want you to walk down to the center point, which is like the point within the circle. And you become, or you connect with, whatever deity is in the heart of that. They say it's God. I say, no, can't be God. God's not down there. My God's not down there. My God is up in heaven. Let me hear you say amen. But it's basically all the same concept. Mark Batterson has this whole circle maker craze going on in churches all over the world. He's telling everybody, draw a circle. You need to draw a circle around this. And the concept comes from, not the Bible, but it comes from Jewish tradition, which the Bible warned us against. Jewish tradition tells the story of Honi, who the people didn't have any rain and everybody was starving. So Honi drew a circle and got in it and said, God, I'm not leaving this circle until you make it rain. And then all of a sudden it rained. And so now Batterson now has taken that concept and he goes around telling everybody, make circles everywhere, draw circles everywhere, do prayer circles, just walk around praying about things, or get inside of a circle and pray inside of that circle. And I'm going, that's witchcraft. Here is what is in Batterson's book, a prayer that you pray. Lord of the universe, I swear before your great name that I will not move from this circle until you have shown mercy upon your children. Now, here's what you can do. Now, here again, I got my ugly head in the way. Let me do this. Lord of the universe, I swear before your great name that I will not move from this circle. Get out your King James Pure Bible Search software. Type in the phrase, Lord of the universe. And I'll give you about a second or two. And what you found out is, it's not in your Bible. The Lord of the universe is Shiva, who is the God that dwells inside the circle of fire. Think about this one. Think about it. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, down, down as the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire. Are you kidding me? Where did Johnny Cash get that song from? Little true information. Johnny Cash was going to record Ring of Fire. And he was going to go into the studio the next day and do the recording of it. And the night before,
This is what I know the story. The night before, he had a dream, and that song was going through his dream, and he dreamed that there was a Mexican trumpet group that was playing along with that song. And what makes that song most notable, The Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash, is the addition of those trumpets. Because when he woke up the next morning, he goes in the studio and says, we need to hire some Mexican trumpet band to come in here. And they played what Johnny Cash dreamed in his mind. I mean, that's the song right there, all right? But just think about the lyrics. I fell into a burning ring of fire, went down, down, down as the flame went higher. And I burned, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. You don't think the devil's in music? I do. Now, here's what I want you to do. There's a couple words that I want you to look at in your Bible. And old fellow from Texas called me and just kind of talked to me this morning, gave me some ideas. And I want you to think of a portal. Think of a pit, like in Revelation chapter 9, like a well, or there are other ways that the Bible shows this. Different symbols showing the pit that, the enemies are in, the beast is going to come out, and so forth. All right? So I just decided, I had never done this before, but I decided to look at the word holes in the Bible. H-O-L-E-S, holes. Here's what you'll find. You pull up your Bible search software, type it in. Isaiah 2:19, they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth. So now we have a word associated with it. So we're going to expand our search here in a little bit to not just look at holes, but look at caves. Okay? Think about it. Think about what a cave represents. A cave is a hole in the earth. That's what it is. They shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he riseth to shake terribly the earth. Now, there is a corresponding verse to that in Revelation. We'll get to it in a little bit. But I want you to think about this. CERN is doing something named Alice. They're involved in opening up a gateway, a portal. Let me show you this. Micah 7:17. Look there, because you're going to see something here. Micah 7:17 to me is very interesting, and I'll explain the concept here in a little bit. Micah 7:17 has to do with holes, but it's not just any hole. It's wormholes in Micah 7:17. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. Dun, 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 dun. I hit the wrong button. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of thee. Wormholes, right there in your King James Bible. Let me explain a wormhole to you, all right? Think of the entire universe. This is actually a pretty good description here, okay? This is clean. I haven't blown my nose on it or anything. Think of the entire universe being like this, like a big rectangle. Okay, maybe like a big square or whatever. And I'm talking every galaxy, every star cluster, every place in the universe. Think of it like this. Okay, and if you're here in the Milky Way and you want to go to this place over here in some unknown galaxy, that is, I don't know, like 13 billion light years away. And what that means is a light year is how far an object travels, traveling at 186,000 miles per second in 1 year. And this part of the universe is 13 billion of those light years away. No way in the world can somebody here go visit somebody here. Okay? Won't work. Then they start theorizing that maybe the universe is not really like this. Maybe it's like this, like doubled over. Okay? So now what's here can be close to what's here, but not quite yet. Not, they can't quite connect together. There's still an insurmountable space to get there. Okay? So then, let me see what I can use. Here we go. Think of it like this, okay? If I take, I'm going to try to get you to see under my hand here, okay? If I take and I press down on this sheet, where I'm pressing down makes like a little tunnel in this sheet, okay? Right where I'm pressing down, right here, okay? It actually takes the universe and warps it into a tunnel. That's what warp speed, Mr. Scott, on Star Trek represents. In the 23rd century, they figured out how to warp space. So they can travel from one place, and in a matter of hours or days, at warp 7, they're able to warp space and make it so that the space between Earth and, let's say, the Klingons can be breached in a matter of days rather than in 13 billion light years. Okay? So the goal, I'm going to do it like this. Okay? I'm going to fold the sheet in half. And here's our two places in the universe. And by the way, while I'm just sharing this with you, did you know that God is the one who actually said in the scriptures that the heavens, the universe, was like a piece of fabric? Go study sheets in the Bible. Write these down. Sheets. Okay? What did Peter see? Coming down from heaven. A sheet. Study the word tabernacle in Psalm 19, the sun, God made the sun to rest in a, or exist in a tabernacle of the heavens. Think of how the heavens are going to, look at this, watch this. The heavens, God said, are going to roll together as a scroll. God said that twice in the Bible, okay? This is cool stuff, because I think that Bible is an accurate, perfect rendition of every, out of blueprint of everything in the universe. It's got everything in it. So the way physical particle scientists are trying to describe the universe is like, think of a sheet, and I'm going, wait a minute, what did they do with, think of the tabernacle curtain. That's something in the heavens. Now watch. A wormhole is this. You fold the universe, and gravity actually is what warps space. So you poke a hole on this side, and then poke a hole on the exact other side, and now you have your tunnel. You have your cave. You have your hole that things can go into. Okay? Hope I'm not losing you. I'm trying to make this as simple as possible. That is how the scientists are explaining warping space, wormholes, things like that. And here, Micah 7:17, are wormholes in your Bible. And Micah 7:17 and Isaiah 2:19 both talk about moving in and out of those holes. And in Isaiah 2:19, it actually says that they are going into the holes and into the caves. Why? Because they know that God is coming, and they want to use those caves to hide themselves so that God can't put his judgment on them. That's a bum, bum, bum. I mean, look at it. Here's another one. Isaiah 7:18. Ooh, this is a good one. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in... Now, think of a fly. Think of a creature with wings. Think of a fly. What does Baal mean? Lord of the... Or Baal something. And Beelzebub or something. Beelzebub means Lord of the flies. Think of an evil spirit that has four wings. So it shall come to pass that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt. A river, any kind of body of water, like a lake or a sea or a river. Think of the lake of fire. Think of the beast rising up out of the sea. In Ezekiel chapter 32, Ezekiel described Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who's got a, you know, Pharaoh got a snake coming out of his head. Pharaoh is like a whale in the sea, or a whale of the rivers. And he comes up out of the river. So here's the fly that is in the uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt. And for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they, by the way, where do bees put their larvae? Little hexagon-shaped holes. Little hexagon-shaped pits. That's what a beehive is. And is in the land of Assyria, and they shall come and shall rest all of them in the desolate valleys and in the holes of the rocks and upon all thorns and upon all bushes. They're going to be in the holes of the rocks. Isaiah 42:22, this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. Do you know what the prison is? In the Bible, the prison is the pit where the beast is. That's where also the angels that sinned are cast right now. They've been cast into prison. The devil is going to be bound with a great chain and cast into the bottomless pit. That is the prison. That's where he's going to be held. When the Jews left it up to Pontius Pilate to deal with Jesus, Pontius Pilate, they had this little thing that every now and then, just to make the Jews happy, they would release and have mercy upon one of the prisoners that they had. They had Jesus standing here, and where did Barabbas come from? You go read it. He came up out of prison and stood there before them. And who did they choose? They choose the one that came out of the prison. That's a picture of the beast. That's the one who comes up out of the pit. And so here in Isaiah 42:22, they talk about being snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey. None delivereth for a spoil, and none saith restore. Isaiah 51:1, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock which you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit which you are digged. You say, well, I don't understand that one. Before you were saved, Paul said that you were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead people, where do we put dead people? Put them in a hole. Put them in a pit. In the grave. By the way, if you're going to write down words, holes, caves, prisons, graves, okay? All of those words are related in that they deal with where the dead are versus where the living are. Okay, and there's another one here. I'll show it to you in a little bit. Micah 7:17, wormholes. Nahum 2:12, the lion did tear in pieces enough for his whelps, and strangled for his lionesses, and filled his holes with prey and his dens with raven. This is cool. Where do foxes live? Matthew 8:20. Remember, when the Bible describes beasts of the earth, I think there is a double meaning of spiritual realm beasts that live around us. I'll give you something else, too, that I didn't have in my notes. I didn't know where I was going to put it. You remember Sheba? Let me show you this again. Here's Sheba. Sheba is in this ring of fire, and Sheba does a dance in here. Probably because, you know, he's on fire. He's doing a dance, and this dance destroys and then creates. There's a creature in your Bible called a satyr that dances just like Shiva does, all right? And the satyrs, I think they are fourth dimensional spiritual realm creatures. And they dance because they live where dragons live. Go watch that video. Genesis chapter 23, one of the first places, if not the first place, you'll find the word cave in the Bible. 23 is the number for death. And in Genesis 23, you have the death of Sarah and where they're going to bury her. They're just not going to just dig a hole. Abraham wants a family burial place. So he goes to the Hittites and he buys the cave of Machpelah. And Genesis 23:20 says, "In the field and the cave that is therein, we made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth." Sarah was buried there in Genesis 25. Abraham was buried there. He was buried by Isaac and Ishmael together. Genesis 49, Jacob charges his sons and said, "I'm to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephraim the Hittite," which is the cave of Machpelah. And it says that in verse 30. Genesis chapter 50, verse 13, "For his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah." So you have Abraham, Sarah, you have Isaac, I think, is buried there, and Jacob is buried there, and I don't remember who all else is buried there. But think of a cave. A cave represents that pit, a hole in the ground. And in some cases, those caves are sealed up. So now I want you to go to Joshua chapter 10, and we're going to see a depiction in the Bible of them opening a wormhole, a gateway between two worlds, one the surface world and one the underground world. It's right there in your Bible, Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10 is where the longest day is, all right? That's where it is. Joshua chapter 10, look at verse 15. And I want you to, as we read this now, remember what we kind of thought of a little while ago. We found out, where's my paper here? We found out that in these holes, kings and things like that are going to go and try to hide inside those holes, in those caves, in the dens, as it were. That's another word you look at, because I'm probably going to run out of time on this thing. So you're going to study holes, caves, prisons, dens. All of these were used in the Bible as hiding places. Yeah, here it is, Isaiah 2:19. "They shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord." That's in Revelation chapter 6. Now, Joshua chapter 10, look at it. Verse 15. "Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave of Makeda." Watch this. This is so awesome. You're getting a picture of it right here. Joshua is, guess who? He's Yeshua. He is Jesus. He is the Lord who's coming with his wrath. All right? Oh, this is awesome. So here is Joshua, and he is, man, He has got vengeance all over him. And that's why, if you go read Joshua chapter 10, that's why Joshua commanded the sun to stand still and the moon to stand still. He said, God, give me this day. I'm on a roll here. I'm destroying enemies right and left, and I don't want the sun to go down on this thing. I want to keep destroying them until they're all gone. And these kings now know that something is coming. Something is coming to enact vengeance and destroy them. These kings have no doubt heard about what happened to Jericho. They heard what happened at Jericho and they said, well, we're going to try to stop it. And so these five kings got together. And what I think happened was when all their armies started losing the war and they were being killed, the kings got together and said, it's time to bug out. That's what some of you have got planned, isn't it? You think you're going to bug out and escape all the stuff that's coming? And what is it? What is it that they did this back in the 50s and the 60s and the missile crisis and Cuban missile crisis and so on? What was everybody building in their backyard? A pit, a hole, a cave. Why were they doing it? To hide out in case the fiery wrath was poured down from the heavens. That's what they were doing. I often think, well, that wouldn't be a bad idea, you know. Every now and then we have tornadoes that come in the state of Missouri. Not as much as Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas, I can tell you that, but wouldn't be too bad. Of course, in Missouri, a lot of people have basements. They just get down in the basement. But anyway, look at this story. The kings heard that Joshua was coming. What did they do? They went and hid in the cave of Makeda. And you look in, let's go ahead and look in Revelation chapter 6, verse 15. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man, there's seven of them, by the way, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Dens is related to it. Why did they do that? To escape the wrath of God. So, is it possible I just saw a movie. Now it makes sense. I just saw a movie that came out. Several of you told me to go watch it, called Interstellar. Remember that? And Interstellar was about the Earth that was dying, and NASA was secretly, it's in the future, NASA was supposed to be disbanded, but it was still secretly operating because they were looking for a way to get off planet Earth, and they found that a wormhole, they found that a wormhole, there, that's better, isn't it? They found that a wormhole had opened up out by Saturn, which is where the hexagon is at the North Pole of Saturn. Which is Saturn, you know what it is? It's a wheel within a wheel. That's Ezekiel chapter 1. Saturn is the seventh of the supposed planetary objects. And there's a wormhole open up at Saturn to a different part of the universe where there is inhabitable planets that mankind can leave the earth to escape the wrath, go through the wormhole and to another world so they can survive. And I think it's possible that the kings of the earth and the rulers and the rich men, because remember, I won't say every nation, but nations all over the world, corporations, endowments, rich people are funneling large sums of money into CERN. Why? the Bible. The Bible says that the kings of the earth and all the rich men and all the mighty men and the chief captains and bondman and free man, they're all going to start looking for a place to hide. And they're going to start crawling into caves and wormholes and dens. And I think, let me read Joshua 10, and then I'm going to leave you with that. You go study the rest of it on your own. Joshua returned and all the Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal, but these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makeda. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into the cities. And I want to look on down to verse 21. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then verse 22. 22 is the number for Revelation. So what are you going to see? You're going to see something revealed here. Remember, these kings have hid themselves in a cave, in a pit, in a hole, in a den. Open the mouth of the cave. But the cave was sealed off. It had a gate put in front of it, a gate of stones, a doorway of stones. I could go lots of places with that. Open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon. By the way, the Merovingian Empire, the Merovingian dynasty of the Holy Grail thing and so on, the Merovingian kings referred to themselves as king of Jerusalem. I don't think that they were identifying themselves with Christ. I think they were identifying themselves with this giant who I think was a king of Jerusalem at that time. Remember, that's who Joshua's going in to kill, is all these giant kings that are ruling over Canaan land. And these kings went into a cave to escape the wrath of Joshua, Jesus. And they get sealed in. And now they're going to open the cave once again and bring those out. And you know what they did with them? They smote them and they slew them and they hung them on five trees. And they were there to about the going down of the sun, and then took them down off the five trees and put them back in the cave and rolled great stones. And those stones remain to this day. And let me tell you what's going to happen. The angels that sinned, that committed folly, they're already down in the prison. They're in the pit. They're in the wormhole. And they're sealed in there. They're going to be, that door is going to be opened, and they're going to come out, but then God's going to destroy them and put them right back into perdition, right back into fire, okay? I got to run. You guys study this thing out. Just go through the Bible. I guarantee it will not be time wasted. Go through the Bible and look at pits, holes, caves, dens, graves, wells. I mean, study it out. Okay, look at Revelation 6 and see what it says. Is it possible that mankind is trying to find a way to escape God's judgment by climbing into one of these portals? I don't know, but it's interesting. We live in interesting times, and I think the more we find out about the world we live in, the more we're going to realize that the Word of God is true. It's good to be with you today. God bless you. I'm going to go ahead and sign out of here. Thank you for listening today and putting up with our technical difficulties. Watch them in video broadcast coming out, part two of Fire from Heaven. You are going to, your jaw's going to go. All right. We'll see you then.